That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
And good morning, and it's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Glad you tuned in this Saturday morning. Get your Bible out, pour you a cup of coffee, and join us, won't you? We'll be back right after this.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, ball for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning again, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And we've got a studio full this morning. We'll say good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning. We got Lance sitting in here with us.
Morning.
Good morning. Many of you know Lance. You've seen him and his brother sing a song or two at church before. And we welcome our Colorado crew as well. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And it's a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. Blue skies, a little cool. Kyle mentioned a taste of fall in the air. Just a little nippy out there. But we'll start off with a word of prayer. Jason, would you open up for us, please?
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we just ask for your blessing upon this broadcast. Ask that you guide us and direct us and our thoughts and the direction that we go, and we just pray for a working of your Holy Spirit across this land, Father. We know that we need repentance in this land, and we need people to cry out to you, and we just ask that you just guide and direct your people, Father, and what they're to do, where they're to go, and how they're to do it. We pray for you just to continue to grant the remnant a special blessing. Let us rise higher and higher as our enemies are brought down lower and lower and deal with the terrors in this land. Oh, Father, we do ask for these things, and we just ask that you give us a broadcast today that it's a blessing to your people and it's a blow to Satan and his kingdom. Call for all these things to be done in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to start out this morning on that very thing, Jason, on that name of Jesus. We've got a phone call this week. Seems like we do about every 3 or 4 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, from a certain individual that always wants to leave a scripture verse or two to lead us to that holy Yahoo-y-Fooey name. It's an unholy name, and the scripture verses that the person left, I didn't even look them up. I don't need to look them up, because I know what his name is, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I hope that you know that that's his name. Oh, there's some other pastors, preachers, ministries out there that will proclaim the Anglo-Israel truth, and they use that unholy name. Lance was saying something earlier. Some of them might even go as far as saying you take the Lord's name in vain if you don't use it. Well, let me tell you, Proverbs 18:10 tells us, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. And in this day and age, it would do well for all of us to remember that.
Amen.
And there is only one name. Only one name for salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. And there is no Yahooey Fooey that fits in there anywhere at all. So, anyway, that was just something kind of current from here. And so if you do want to call in, if you do want to send us an email or a letter, and you want to try to just repeat some useless and worthless and false diatribe that you've heard somebody else spout off about the ancient Hebrew and blah, 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 just save your paper. Because we do know what his name is. And then it was time to drink a little sip of coffee there. So, we'll...
Along those lines, one thing that, people, you look at a lot of those people, and, they reap what they've sown. They don't really... I think a lot of them, it's happened innocently. But Malachi chapter 2... starting in verse 1 says, and now this commandment is for you, O priest, if you do not listen and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you. And that's one of the things that has happened is, they haven't given honor to his name because they don't even use his name, and he's sent a curse upon them, just as the word says, as the promise. If you do these things, I'm going to do this. Cause and effect. And that's one of the things that I like to look at. You read through the scriptures, you look at the cause and the effect. You look at, it spells it out pretty clear, a lot of these things. If you do this, I'm going to do this. And, God does not lie. He keeps his word.
Amen. Amen.
So it's one of those things that we just got to keep our mind on. Kind of interesting this week. They had a couple Iran, first of all. They had some interesting comments this week about the state of Israel. Did anybody see those?
No, I haven't had a whole lot of spare time this week.
Yeah, nope, didn't see that.
Iran came out and said, Israel's existence is an insult to all humanity. Iran's president said Friday in one of the sharpest attacks yet against the Jewish state, as Israel openly debates whether to attack Iran over its nuclear program. And it went on and on and on, but it was quite interesting to look at and to read what Iran had to say about Israel. Of course, Israel wants to go in and just blow things up over there in Iran. But if you read the statements that were made against Israel, there's a lot of truth in it. I mean, a whole lot of truth in it. And just kind of makes you wonder why exactly Israel wants Iran wiped out as a nation itself.
Huh. Do you have a conclusion to that or question? Do you have an answer?
Do I have an answer?
Yeah. I mean, do you have an idea why they want to wipe out Iran?
Well, because they don't like Israel. That's just the way Israel is. They want to bomb the living daylights out of anybody that opposes them.
Yeah, they don't like us.
They have they don't like us. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's one of their many gods. Is that money?
Yeah.
It's all coming down around them, though.
Yeah, I've been hearing lately that they've been coming against the New Testament again all over the world. Wanting to outlaw it here and wanting to outlaw it there because it's anti-Semitic. They say, in the first place, they don't even know what a Semite is. We could, you know, they put it out there like if you're anti-Christ Jew, then you're anti-Semite, which is ridiculous. But anyway, the whole point is, you know, they want to outlaw the New Testament because there's too many things against the Jewish people in there. You know, and it's comical to me because you got millions of Christians here in the United States that don't even know that. You know what I mean? They don't even know that it's anti-Christ Jewish. You know what I mean?
Right.
They have no idea that it's like that. But yet the enemy, you know, makes a big stink about it to where, you know, I don't even know what those Judeo-Christians are doing. They probably scratch their head and go, what are they talking about? You know what I mean? But it's the same thing, you know, just like Jason said. It's because, you know, when anybody exposes the demonic Edomite people, you know, children of hell or whatever you want to call them, they want to come at you and destroy you. I mean, that's just their nature. They're destroyers.
Well, one of the quotes was, "The existence of Zionist regime is an insult to all humanity." And you look at what have happened with the Jewish people over history, and they're a destructive people. They come in and they are a parasite people. They come in and live off of a nation and feed off of it and destroy it. And it's really some interesting comments on here. You know, Iran to this date has completely denied all the allegations of building nuclear weapons. And that's what Israel is pushing. They're liars. You know, they have been from the beginning. And they come out and they spout off this, you know, I don't know what they're doing over there in Iran, and nobody else does over here either.
Yeah, but, doesn't that remind you, know, you of when we attacked
Iraq? Sounds like
Iraq,
don't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, we're looking for
weapons of mass destruction.
Exactly. And did they ever find weapons of mass destruction, which is what, how many billions of dollars later and how many years at war did they find? Oh, well, they didn't find weapons, but they found evidence that there was, that they were making weapons of mass destruction. What a bunch of hogwash.
You could probably find evidence of that in every house
in America.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you got fertilizer and diesel fuel, you're weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, or a terrorist. Then tell me what farmer doesn't have fertilizer and diesel fuel.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was quite interesting. One of those things.
Well, you think about Germany too, the original, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Germans,
I mean, there's the rest of that story. They were oppressed to a point where there was no way out but to get rid of them. So.
And to get rid of them. Yep. Well, another city there in California filed for bankruptcy. Did you see that?
Was it Los Angeles?
Could have been
San
Francisco.
And they have many more California cities expected to file for bankruptcy protection. And it was kind of interesting because that also this week that the bond issuers of that San Bernardino, California, started filing all kinds of suits, and that thing got a little blocked up into a bunch of lawsuits. I guess those California bankruptcy laws give cities special privileges, and they don't have to follow all the rules that everybody else does. Imagine that.
Well, that's okay, because Amtrak's awarding a free getaway for gay pride for two lucky couples to go to Chicago, New York, San Francisco, or New Orleans for a fun-filled weekend.
Oh, my.
Believe that?
Yeah. I won't be riding Amtrak.
Yeah, and then Amtrak's got these specials going now that show, you know, two women with a little girl sitting on their lap that say, and kids ride 2 through 15, kids age 2 through 15 ride for half off, you know. And another one with two men, one with his arm around the other one, a little boy sitting on his lap. Same thing. It's appalling.
Yeah, and Amtrak is totally government-funded, government-subsidized.
I know.
And has
been
for years.
Freedom from Religion, that comes against every single thing that has a cross or the name God, or, you know, it just, we just really got to target our imprecatory prayers, I think, at this Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Absolutely.
This Ann Gaylor. She got her name right, Gaylor. The Gaylord.
Yeah, well, she can be gay in hell.
Yeah, exactly. I say give them freedom from religion.
In hell?
Roast in hell. Put them on the rotisserie. But it's also encouraging to see there's a little town, Woonsocket, Rhode Island, that has a memorial for the local men who died in World War II. It's been up there since, I don't know, 1920-some or 40-some or whatever it was. But they're not backing down. And thousands of people have donated money to fight against them. And so that's all this group does, is they have a group of lawyers, and it's a nonprofit, you know, so imagine that. So it's, I'm sure it's probably even federally funded if you look deep into it. And all they do is go around and try to remove God and Christianity and crosses and anything to do with Christianity from any and everything that they possibly can.
Well, you can do that in a conquered nation. When you've conquered a nation.
We learned that, didn't we?
Yeah. When you've conquered a nation that used to be Christian, that's one of the last things that you do, is you go ahead and remove every semblance, every symbol, you know, anything and everything that the people used to have to remind them of their Christian roots. And then, you know, our enemy thinks generationally. And then within a generation or two, I mean, even in the last couple of generations, they have succeeded in teaching in the public school system. You know, the children of America, the majority of them anyway, that it's always been a secular nation. And when there's no, you know, there's no character development, well, there is, it's just a bad character.
Yep. Amen.
And that,
well,
you know,
guess what, boys? Can't have Starbucks anymore. Starbucks is openly proclaiming an assault against people of faith.
Yep. Well, it's really nothing new. Well, guys, we got the phone lines ringing. Let's see if we got somebody calling in. Good morning. Did you call in for coffee this morning?
Yes, I did, Richard. This is Cal.
Good morning, Cal.
Hi, Cal.
Hey, I was listening to Scientific News You Can Use as a Christian fellow upstate New York has a little radio program, and it really made a smile come across my face as opposed to looking at this Olstein's face here on the back cover of this latest Dragon Slayer. Your chances of being shot with a gun in the United States of America as opposed to dying from a prescription drug is 6,250 times less. He did the math on it. By their own admission, prescription drugs kill, for every one shot, 6,250 people. Isn't that amazing? It isn't amazing. Guns that are our problem, it's doctors.
Yeah, that's
you
one
get
of
that
them.
Right.
That's one of them.
They're just doing their job.
Yeah, I guess they are. That's why, doctors are pharmacists. Pharmacists are poisoners, right?
They are.
They're trying to get rid of us. That those who
learned
are the women are wise enough to stay away from that nonsense.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Zion.
Yeah. Your program last night, Jason, was great. I just enjoyed so much the information on there, especially about the cream of tartar for healing.
Keep yeah,
good work, man. We'll talk to you later. God bless you.
Thank you, Cal.
And Jesus.
Thanks, Cal. You too.
Yeah, I appreciate that call from Cal.
Yeah, I can testify to that cream of tartar. I had a pretty
nasty
infection going.
Yeah,
John, why don't
you tell them what it did for you?
Well, as of late, it seems like if I get some kind of nasty cut or wound or something like that, I don't really do much with it. It used to heal up pretty fast and didn't have any complications, but lately I had a couple things that got infected pretty bad, and this is one of them. I hit my hand with a sledgehammer while I was putting in some concrete stakes. full blow, so it did some damage. But anyways, I showed Jason one night, and I said, hey, what can you do about this? Because I don't want to go to the doctor. And he says, oh, yeah, I can fix it up. He walks in with a 3-foot by 3-foot bag with pretty much anything you could imagine to doctor something. And he numbed it all up and then proceeded to punch some holes around it, and we squeezed all that pus out of it, and then he made a tincture of this cream of tartar and some other stuff, I don't know, and put that on there, and it was so infected that even peroxide pouring it on it, you couldn't feel it, you know, wouldn't do anything, because it had sealed itself off with the infection. Well, as soon as he put that poultice on there, next thing you know, you start to feel this tingling, and it hurt a little bit, but I mean, that's good, because at that point, I was glad to feel anything going on around that area. And so I left it on there for a couple hours, like you said, and then he had, what was that cream stuff you gave me? I don't remember what that was, but anyways, put that on there, and by the next day, all the red was gone, and it was already starting to scab up and heal over. And it's been about a week since he did that, and it's all but gone now. So,
yeah, that cream of tartar is something that just really is a good thing to keep around for bee stings, for spider bites, for anything poisonous, toxic in the body. You can make a poultice out of it, and it'll just suck the poison right out, right through the skin. So, and it's something that's extremely cheap. You can get it at, try to get a good one, get it at the health food store, but keep it around. Just never know when you're going to need something like that. And like John with hand was extremely infected, and it just pulled the infection right out of it. So
yeah, Tessa had a story where her brother got bit by brown recluse like 4 times in the neck and actually started to deteriorate the skin. And they tried pretty much anything and everything they could think of. And I guess an older lady who'd been around some time into herbs and natural healing said put some cream of tartar on it, and she did, and the next day it was already pulled the poison out, and the skin was starting to grow back and healing, and within a week you couldn't even tell that the child was bit. So yep, that's another one of the miracles God's given us, I guess.
Yeah, one of those things.
But we need to give the credit to God too.
Exactly.
We give the credit to God too, because we prayed over my hand not this Wednesday, but the
too late.
Wednesday before. So.
Too late for that, John.
No, it's not. I give the credit to God and to Jason, because God gave him the ability to know what to do. So, does that work? Hello?
Yeah. Oh, we're still here.
Okay.
Still here.
So.
Well.
You see the troops got the okay to march in the homo parade in uniform this year?
Yeah, I saw that a while ago. It's depressing.
Well, it you know, tying that in with what you were talking, John, about the freedom from religion, how they seem to be attacking anything and everything that is in any way represents Christianity. You know, it really is, I think it's just Belshazzar all over again. From the story of Daniel, you know, the story of Daniel. Now Belshazzar, you know, he was the king after his father, and he holds this great feast, drinking all this wine, and you know, he goes and gives orders to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. And so it wasn't enough for him to have this big drunken orgy feast. You know, he had to go ahead and, as part of it, profane the holy things of God. And I think that's just it was a precursor. I think that it points to today, where you have groups like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and you have groups like the United States Congress, and the United States Senate, and the Obama Nation that's in the White House today. And you have an organization known as Hollywood. And all these are tied in together. They're all in bed with the whore together. And they all are doing the exact same thing. They are doing anything and everything they can to blaspheme the name of God, similar to how Belshazzar did in taking, you know, the holy instruments, the holy vessels out, and using them in his drunken orgy fest. You know, but just when that's going on, it says, you know, they're praising the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, and isn't that exactly what, you know, the ungodly do today? You know, they praise their big golden calf there at on Wall Street, and they, you know, they'll give praise to anybody and anything except God. But this is what happened to him, and you know, Hollywood and all the ungodly out there would do well to take this warning, to read in the history of our people, and to see what's happened before, and to see what's going to happen again. And in Daniel 5 and verse 5, it says, suddenly the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. And they'd never seen anything like that. And that was just the word of God coming upon them. And it says, then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees began knocking together. Basically, he got the you-know-what scared out of him.
Yep.
You know?
Long for that day.
And that is coming, Hollywood. That is coming, ungodly ones in the White House. That is coming, ungodly ones in state, government, county, city, wherever you may be. And, you know, it goes on, and it says a little bit later, his face grew even paler. His nobles were perplexed, all the people that he had surrounded himself with, all the appointments he had made, all the Supreme Court justices, all the filthy faggots he had put in place, just like our ungodly government today has. They were all perplexed as well. He finally goes to Daniel. Daniel's brought in, and Daniel pretty much lays it to him. You know, I like what he says here in verse 22. He's telling him all about his father and how, you know, God had come and visited his father and brought judgment on him, but the son didn't pay any attention to it. And he says, yet you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart. And that truly is what we are to do before God. And so in 25, he says, now this is the inscription that was written. And I'm not going to try to pronounce those other words that really aren't, that are put there as a quote. But it basically means God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. And you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and Persians. And so Belshazzar thought, wow, well, that's pretty neat. And he gives all this stuff to Daniel. And you think, okay, well, that's, you know, he really, I don't think, gave it much thought when Daniel told him what was going on. And, you know, I think that's just how the ungodly are today. You know, you tell them that the homosexuality, the sin of homosexuality is described in the Bible as being worthy of the death penalty. And God is the same as when he wrote it as he is today. And that has not changed. But they don't give it much thought. I really don't think they do. You know, they just go the way of Belshazzar. But if you read the end of verse 5 in Daniel, it says, that same night, Belshazzar the Chaldean king was slain. And so he went to his reward that very evening. And I think his reward, he's sitting there, I think, waiting on those others that you speak of, John, from the Freedom From Foundation religion. And they too will have the same reward that Belshazzar Freedom. Had.
Yep. Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Yep. I think
so. What's Lance got to say this morning? He's sleeping over there?
I'm awake. Just sitting here agreeing with y'all.
You got to turn your mic in there a little bit. Somehow, that's better. Try that.
Better.
There you go.
Here we go. Just enjoying the conversation and agreeing with everything. It's
well,
one of the few programs you can listen to where you can hear some men talk about how we'd like to see fags burn in hell and talking about the truth about Zionism and Jewish state and all that stuff. So it's good.
Yep.
Well, let's see what the phone lines have to say this morning. Good morning. Oh, we'll try to
get him on.
Got to hit the right button there. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello. Good morning. Yeah, and you got to turn your radio off real quick.
I forgot to do that. I was wondering, man, they're not talking to me. How y'all doing?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning to y'all. I just wanted, one of the things I wanted to say was I praise God and Pastor Peter so much that he had you guys picked. I was kind of worried that it might fall apart, but it ain't doing nothing but getting stronger, is it? The ministry.
That's sure. Yes, we would all agree with that. It is.
So I praise the Lord. I've been using the pistol prayer so much, I'm about to have to put a new barrel on it. I think it's about to melt down.
That's why Babylon's coming down.
Just give y'all some praise, or actually give the Lord praise, but let it fall down on you. The trickle down praise, I guess that would be.
That works.
And
I think that works. That, you know, that trickle down effect. They say when you hear it from Washington, that doesn't seem to work too well. But certainly when we praise God and do things, you know, according to His word, it not only blesses Him, but it does bless His people as well.
Oh yeah. And Kyle done a good job last week, I thought too. I kind of liked the new Kyle.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Well, anyway, I guess I'll let you go unless anybody else wants to get on there. But anyway, y'all are doing a bang up job and keep at it.
Well, appreciate it. Thank
you.
You bet.
Have a great week.
Keep praying.
Well, you got two ways to go. You can either shrink back, fall away, or you can go forward. I know we have a caller or two that they say keep on keeping, and there's something to that. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'd say stronger. I don't know if that's the right word, but we are all trying to mature in Christ, grow daily, and numbers is what makes the church stronger, because, you know, the more perfect the body of Christ gets, and I believe that comes with numbers. You know, obviously there's going to be a certain amount of numbers, you know, that God's only going to allow to be in that body. But I can't stress enough how, and I'm even talking to some of us, me, myself, how this land, we talk about the world order all the time, whether it's the political field, the schools, the medicine, whatever we're talking about. We talked about the order all the time. I mean, I grew up, it was just called worldliness. Mm-hmm. You know, and basically it's world order. And to overcome that, you have to be born of God. Now, we all know, you know, the mode on how that's done. But what I've witnessed is we don't understand the spiritual aspect of it. We just don't get it. And some of us don't get it even more than others. Everything is flesh. But we have to conquer this world order by the Spirit of the Lord. I mean, we all know the verse, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we don't take that to heart. Mm-hmm. You know, and we still have this tendency to go about everything in the flesh. You know, with our own doings and our, you know, and we might even go outside the not so world order, but it's still world order because it's still worldly, you know, and we leave the foundations that the early church had. I mean, can you imagine if the shadow of Peter walks by you and you get healed? Can you imagine what that would be like if just his shadow?
We need to imagine it. We need to imagine it and believe it and have it.
And we lack that. We lack that spiritual, I mean, I won't say discernment, because we got discernment over evil things. You know, I mean, when John and Jason and you and I, when we see evil things, that's evil. You know, and we don't see them all, obviously. But I'm talking about our everyday, you know, growth period and living is we got to start walking in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just... we always want, I want to do everything but with my hands and with my mind and with my mouth, you know, instead of just put on Christ, walk as he walked, and, you know, that question that it just keeps ringing in my head, will I find faith when I come? We know there'll be a remnant. We know that. But we don't know, without a shadow of a doubt, who that remnant is, you know. I want to be one that has faith, and I know to have that faith, I've got to have the Spirit of the Lord working in me like it's never worked before.
Right. Hey, I was looking for a scripture, and I found it, but Hebrews 10, I'll start in 37. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of our soul, of the soul. That kind of goes along with what Guy was saying,
absolutely.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard people make fun of other people for being spiritual-minded. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's spiritual. And I know that gets taken completely out of context where people, you know, so heavenly-minded that they're no earthly good. And I'm not... I mean, I don't even come close to that. You know, I want to be earthly good, you know, to where I can point my finger at somebody and say, you know, that's against God. That's against God's laws, or however you want to put it. But the fact of the matter is we've got to be spiritual. I mean, right now we're living in Babylon. We all agree with that.
Yes.
You know, so the kingdom of God that we were born into is spiritual. You know, we want it to be right here on earth where all the laws are kept. But the fact of the matter is we have to be spiritual-minded, and we have to walk in the Spirit. And I, you know, it's like the cause and effect, you know, from the social system, you know, to the economics, to the political, to the preachers in this land. It all comes back to, and my people love to have it
so. To the people, it does.
We have to be spiritual-minded, you know what I mean? And I just, lately, that's just where my mind is, you know what I mean? That's just the answer, so to speak.
I talked a little bit about that on Thursday night, that balance. And so many times we get out of balance, that the world weighs so heavy on almost all of us. It truly does. You know, the cares of the world. I mean, we have to work in the world. We have to buy groceries in the world. We have to, you know, interact with the world when we deal with people, whether they're neighbors or people that we work with. And, you know, and we all have that. You know, we have our bills, we have just everything of the world that just seems to, you know, weigh so heavy on that left side of the balance scale. And we cannot get that right balance. We can't combat that, and, you know, as Christians, without balancing it with the Word, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we come against the fruits of the flesh all the time. But do we walk in the fruits of the Spirit?
Right. Right after where John read there in Hebrews, I turned and followed along with him. But, you know, Hebrews 12 tells us, you know, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? How do we run that race? And it tells us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I think the only way for me not to grow weary and lose heart is... You know,
to set your sights on Christ.
Is to set my sights on Christ and compare myself to Him, and know that, you know, and know that I come nowhere near, you know, what He did. But how can I? How can I draw near? I can go back and read Proverbs, and I can get the wisdom that comes out of Proverbs, and I can read Psalms, you know, and read about how, you know, another man who had a heart after God's own heart, how he felt and how he wrote and how God led and directed him and what he kept his sights on and how he got through the trials and temptations. You know? And isn't that what you're talking about. Yeah. Isn't that how we walk in the Spirit? We see that, you know, David wanted to, you know, might have in the physical wanted to do one thing, but he turned and said, no, I know that what you want me to do, God, is this. And so
it's
I'll
the
do
simple
that.
Stuff. You know, I mean, it's like when they ask Christ, who is my neighbor? Christ didn't really tell them who their neighbor was. What Christ told them was how to be a neighbor. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, as simple as that is, that's where we need to be. I mean, that's if you can call yourself a follower of Christ, a Christian, a true Christian, that's where you got to be.
Right. And, you know, not only his neighbor, but I think we talked about this the other day, but also his brother and his mother. You know? You know, because they, you know, the disciples come in and said, Lord, your mother and your brothers are here. They want to see you.
And then he asks, yeah.
And he says, who are my mother and brothers? And he points to these people that he's fellowshipping with. But it, wasn't it that they who do the will of my Father?
Yep.
You know? And I think that ties right in with, you know, like you said, with love your neighbor as yourself. You know?
And along those lines, just had a thought that when you're lukewarm and you get complacent in your Christianity and, you know, you don't take it as seriously, that is almost tantamount to breaking the commandment that says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And then, you know, a lot of people mistake that commandment as well. It's just, you don't swear. You don't say, you know, gosh dang it in the bad way, or, you know, use the name of Jesus Christ as a swear word, which I also believe could, you know, you could also make that argument. But when you take his name upon yourself as a Christian in baptism and you don't live up, you don't even try, you know, you're not trying as hard and you're not doing your best to be walking in the Spirit and be that light in the world, it's like taking his name upon you in vain. And people see it. They know that you, you know, some people might even know you're Christian. And they see you're not living up to that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
That name you took upon yourself.
That just goes along with the natural man. I mean, when a child takes their father's name and just discredits it, you know, I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, it is, it's totally, you know, well, you're ashamed, you know, and you don't want to make Jesus Christ or the Heavenly Father ashamed of you, you know. So when you say that you're a certain person, you know, if it's a Christian, you better act like a Christian. You know, I remember when we came out of our church, a couple other people came out of our church. Well, they turned to the ways of sin, you know, and even though, you know, it made me upset because that was the whole philosophy behind our old cult church, was if you leave here, you're doomed, you know. Well, they just fed them. Yeah, I mean, here, you can, now you have examples you can tell your children for another 30 years, you know. You know, and it was just like, you gotta be kidding me. You know, you come out of that system, you know, and all you do is fall away, you know, shrink back like the scripture John read, and it's a disgrace.
You know, when Brent from Canada was here last week, and you know, what a great time being able to talk and fellowship with some of the brethren and talking with him. You know, he made mention that he has seen, and I think we all certainly have, you know, there are many people that are, they're not converted to Christ. They're converted to the Anglo-Israel message. And I think it's just what you're saying, Kyle. They might come out of that world. They might come out, they understand, they see the banking system's wrong. You know, the government's wrong. All this, they see all this stuff, and then they start to understand or hear about the Anglo-Israel message and God's law and things like that. And that's what they get converted into. You know, and that might be a start.
And they have a zeal. Like,
right, that might be a start, but that's just one of the many facets of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see their fruits, you know. You know, you see their fruits. You see on the blogs and on the all over the internet, you know, all this, how to beat the court system and how to do this and how to redeem and how to not be the straw man and blah, all this. And it's just more worldly stuff, you know. And it's evident because the fruits are not present that they may think they're Christian because they understand the, you know, the Anglo-Israel message, or they've read a little bit in the Word or something like that. But until they repent, until anyone, you know, Again, people, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's the 18th day of August. And no matter who you are out there, if you're hearing this, if you hear his words, you know, you can read the Bible all you want. You can believe it all you want. But until you obey it, it's just words. It's just a book.
Right. Well, it's like Kyle preached last week. You know, he wasn't saying do away with the law. What he was saying is become a Christian, be baptized, you know, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you do receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, you receive the discernment to know the law. Instead of just trying to teach people to obey the laws, they can't obey the laws because they're not written on their hearts until they obey the gospel. I mean, I think that's the Reader's Digest version of what Kyle was trying to teach last
Sunday. Well, absolutely.
Wouldn't you say?
I mean, a lot of people don't, you know, they want to do away with, you know, a lot of the Judeo world, they do away with the law, the old covenant, basically, you know.
Right.
Well, a lot of the fleshly minded that walk in their own ways, they like to do away with the new covenant. You know, it's like they don't understand that when you become part of the new covenant, you get the laws written on your minds and your hearts. That's a
right.
promise. That was a promise way back in the books of the law, you know, that my people will have this. Well, that's how it's done, according to Hebrews 8 and according to Hebrews 10. You know, that
right.
is done. And that is what, you know, and with the Holy Spirit, that lets you have the power to walk in His laws. And obviously we live in Babylon, so you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to do some of the laws, you know.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that's what gives you that law on your heart and your mind, and that's where you got to have the law. I mean, it's great to have the Bible to where we can go and we can study and we can learn God's laws that way, but you need it on your heart and on your mind. Otherwise, all you are is flesh, and flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, there was a four-part series that the pastor did years ago called Paul, Apostle or Imposter. It's because all these identity people, patriot type, they came against Paul because Paul is the one that writes, what, two-thirds of the New Testament? And he comes against the law heavy, you know, saying there's no justification in it. But then he has other scriptures that tell you that the law is holy and the law is spiritual. You have to harmonize the two.
Yes.
You know, and so many Judeo-Christians, they go completely one side. And then the law people, they go completely the other side. No, it all fits, you know. You have to do away, like with what Pastor was teaching in that message, you have to actually do away with 18 books out of the New Testament because they have to throw away Luke and they have to throw away 2 Peter because in 2 Peter, Peter tells you that Paul is an apostle. You know what I mean? So they have to do away with all those books because they don't want to harmonize the scripture and believe that you know, there's a spiritual aspect to being a Christian.
There is.
Amen. Still there, Jason? Hello?
Oh, yep. He's still there.
Oh, okay.
Hadn't heard it go click or anything, so. Well, again, like we said a few minutes ago, you are listening, folks, to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's coming to you live this Saturday morning from the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. These messages go out on internet at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. They also go out, and I believe they're archived as well, at the network website, and that is sfawbn.com. And that website will give you the entire 24 hours a day, 7 days a week broadcasting schedule. One of the nice things about that also, or one of the good things, I won't say nice, but one of the good things also is you can go back if you missed the program, you can go back and the messages are archived there. There's no charge to go back to listen to the archived messages, unlike many of the other websites that are out there that want a fee. But we present the truths out and broadcast the messages 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's certainly not free for us to do that. It sure costs money for the websites, the FTP sites, and especially for the shortwave.
Yep.
Shortwave goes out on WTWW, and again, that goes out all across the nation and all across the world. John, I've seen a couple, you've sent us a couple pictures about, they've kind of had a summer themselves there at the shortwave station, haven't they? But still had the blessings of God and His protection there on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had a couple of insulators burn up on one of the transmitter lines and hit the grass and start a fire and burnt all the way to the perimeter of the transmitter building and where all the cooling is, and praise God, able to put it out right away. So Lord's still looking out for this ministry, always has. I was thinking the other day, it's just what Holy Spirit keeps putting on my heart, I think, when I'm praying is, Lord, we humbly submit to You, you know, the CEO, as Your servants, use us any way You see fit. But what we want to do is continue on what our pastor started over 30 years ago. We want to finish it. So we want You to guide and direct us, grant us wisdom and understanding, and lead us down the path that needs to be completed. You know what I'm saying?
It's a good prayer.
So, basically, the Lord just passed the baton, you know? He used our pastor, a servant who dedicated his life to this ministry and church and to the proclaiming the truth that Jesus Christ is King, and built this ministry basically on baptism. And it becomes more evident the more you look at it, is why the enemies keep our people from baptism, because of just what Carl was teaching last week, that once you do obey the gospel, you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, and then, you know, the laws are written on your heart. And if our people had those laws written on their heart, we wouldn't have the world that we have today.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's see if we've got time. We've got one more caller. Good morning, caller. Thanks for calling in the coffee.
Yeah, good morning. Hope you're enjoying your coffee. I'm enjoying my tea. This is Kevin in Ohio.
Hi, Kevin.
God bless you all for all your efforts. Hey, I only caught a part of what was early in the broadcast was something about them looking for weapons of mass destruction and all that. And I'm a non-vet, and I can remember the day back when they all were telling us it's the domino theory. There's always one to go kill our men. I wanted to ask what kind of progress may be going on with DC Street Sorcery 2.
Jason can probably answer that the best.
I know Jason was on that, and I wanted to ask him if he ever finished reading a book on the Trinity. I give him a want to challenge you other men there. Take a look at that if he would show it to you.
Sure. Jason, Kevin was just asking how DC Street Sorcery 2 was coming along.
Well, it's coming slowly but surely.
We had some complications and some commitments by different people that are involved in getting that to DVD form, so had to make some other plans, and there's been some delays. I'm sure Satan's doing his best to keep it from coming out, but I know Jason's working hard on that, and I believe we'll see at least some sort of a preview. Might do it in chapters so we can actually start getting some of the information out to people here shortly. So stand by. It's coming.
All right. I'll let you all go. I can't hear anyone but you, John. I want to say God bless you.
Thank you, Kevin.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're kind of winding down here. The last few minutes of today's broadcast, 18th of August. Where has the year gone? Here it is, middle of August already.
I don't know. You got prayer like a wildfire there handy or no?
Might.
If you just do pray might. That on the way out.
We might be able to find that
that's
here.
That's an awesome song, too. You listen to the words of Dad speaking in that song, too. It's like, man, if people would just take it to heart. So, you guys been busy haying up there.
Oh, we
talk
have.
About a blessing. You know, we're facing a drought here pretty much nationwide, and our Lord and Savior has been gracious to us because, ask Richard, I mean, we've just been receiving rain up there at the proper time, and here at the beginning of the in spring, we thought, well, we're not going to get much flood irrigation, we're not going to get much hay, and God said, oh, yes, you are, and
yep.
And we've got the proper amount of rain up there, and we got pretty much a bumper crop of hay, so thank you, Lord Jesus,
amen.
For continuing to provide for those who serve you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And you know, we'll invite you to church tomorrow. We're gonna be at church. Hope you can join us. You don't even have to leave your home. Just turn on your internet, go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org. You can tune in there, 10 o'clock Sunday morning Mountain Time. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast. Join us for church. Don't forsake the fellowship and the assembling of the saints. Partake of communion with us. That's our invite. John, I found the song. We'll go out with it. Thank you, men, for joining us. See you at church tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you, Lance.
Thank you.
Wildfire, scorching you. your soul. Pray like a wildfire, lighting the dark. Pray like a wildfire, pray for its spark.